The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and at another location is Dr. Herb Slavin. And for the next hour, information that you can use to protect your good health and enhance longevity, enhance energy, all of those different details that you want to support your energy, your heart, your immune system, your brain. All those good things, that's what we're talking about here on Natural Doc Radio. Good morning, Dr. Slavin. And apparently not yet having Dr. Slavin on the other line. And so one of the things that I will start to talk about is the Zika virus. A lot of information being transmitted through the media, and some of it things that you can actually rely on. Other of the information in the mainstream media, I don't know. You start to think about how many billions of dollars that government agencies are kind of bandying amounts about with regard, okay, well, let's do a study on the availability or the feasibility, rather, of creating a vaccine, and we will vaccinate. Oh, who will we vaccinate? Should we vaccinate all women of childbearing age? Should we vaccinate everybody in an area where the Zika virus has been identified? Should we vaccinate the entire population? And how long will it take to create a vaccine? How long will it take to test the safety of the vaccine? Has that ever been done before? How long will it take to evaluate the efficacy of a Zika vaccine? So many different details, very, very important to understand that so much needs to be discussed before we move forward with regard to our way of addressing the Zika virus and controversy. You know, so far the research is showing that many of the cases associated with microcephaly, though they may have a connection to the Zika virus, many of those cases also have a very, very significant connection to the chemicals being sprayed to kill the larvae of the mosquito that carries the Zika virus. Very, very critically important information. So, is it the chemicals? Are we able to identify the presence of the chemicals in the tissue and blood of the babies born with microcephaly? Is it only that we're identifying the Zika virus? And here's a question that has not been part of the discussion at this point. And this is to my knowledge, it hasn't been part of the discussion. I am going to say that, and now we should have Dr. Slavin. So I'm just going to finish this thought. What about environmental issues? What about hygienic issues? What about nutrition status in the mothers of the babies with microcephaly? And I have to say, I believe that those two aspects play a very, very important role with regard to how a pregnancy is going to be completed, what the health of that baby will be, and when we evaluate all of that, nutrition status, hygiene and environmental possible environmental contaminations. So much to consider. And good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. Little trouble with the computer this morning.
Okay, all right. And I have to say, I'm so accustomed to having you either across the desk or on the other end of the line, that I truly was not prepared with anything to discuss, right. And that will teach me a lesson.
No. Okay, so, all right, let's talk about this. What's the number one leading cause of death worldwide?
Oh.
Same as in this country.
Okay, infectious disease?
No, worldwide is still a cardiovascular disease.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And now it's not the only, obviously not the only cause of death, but they're associating, studies are now showing there's a direct link between this substance and cardiovascular disease. This substance is known to weaken bones, so it causes arthritis, toxic to the thyroid. It's upsets normal endocrine balance, sex hormones. And if you were to read some warning labels on some of the products that this is in, it says toxic if swallowed. It's irritating to the skin and eyes. And I'm talking about fluoride. Now, how often have you heard of fluoride being a cause of cardiovascular disease?
Not at all. That is certainly not a very common topic of conversation with regard to heart disease. Certainly, right. It might be part of the conversation with regard to osteoporosis. Mm-hmm. Certainly, fluorosis is an issue, but these tend to be, the fluorosis certainly does tend to be a relatively minor issue, and I'm going to say it's minor unless you're the one that's affected.
And since, and we'll take this country as an example, since everybody is probably being exposed to fluoride, you can't do a double-blind placebo-controlled study about it, because how do you find a group of people not exposed to fluoride to find out the comparison? But the information here says that new research has linked fluoride to cardiovascular disease, which is the leading cause of death worldwide. It finds that fluoride consumption directly stimulates the hardening of your arteries, which is known as atherosclerosis. And now here's the key.
So it's contributing to the deposition of calcium and mineral debris in the wall of the blood vessels. That's an astonishing bit of information.
But here's the thing that is mind-boggling, and I think somebody's going to have to hold our elected officials accountable, if possible. Sodium fluoride is currently added to the water supply of many cities worldwide, despite extreme opposition from health professionals and previous studies linking it to a decreased IQ. I guess the decreased IQ and also linking it to infertility aren't enough to get the fluoride out of the water. Maybe heart disease is. And the way they did the study is they examined the relationship between fluoride intake and calcifications in the arteries. They looked at more than 60 patients, and they found a significant correlation between fluoride consumption and the calcification of arteries. And this was published in the journal. It's interesting where it was published. In a journal, Nuclear Vascular Calcification. Let me see. Published
now
in the journal.
That's interesting that there's a Nuclear Journal of Arterial Calcification.
Yeah, I don't have the full name of the journal, but it started off with nuclear. Anyway, they go on to say that they show that the amount of fluoride exposure may be to blame for the cardiovascular disease epidemic. 17 million people die each year, at least 17 million worldwide, from cardiovascular disease. Now, the U.S. government has even gone on record stating that a reduction in water fluoridation needs to occur following the results of a massive study that found water fluoridation affected cognitive function to the point of lowering the IQ in children. If it affects cognitive function in children, might it have an effect in adults as well? Imagine you're an 80-year-old, been drinking fluoridated water for a long time.
Well, Dr. Slavin, the research has been very, very clear that for older individuals, fluoride in the water is associated with an increased risk of hip fracture. So we see interaction with regard to how calcium is to be properly metabolized in the body. And fluoride is a very much an interrupter of that proper metabolism of calcium.
John, tell me if this doesn't sound familiar as far as the way governments operate. So they said that, the government stated, they went on record stating that a reduction in water fluoridation needs to occur, and then they went ahead and did nothing. Over 24 other studies have unanimously concluded that fluoride.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. If you're in search of the fountain of youth, if you're trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy, there are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through my counseling sessions, I work with clients and manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. I can help you maintain optimal health that will keep you looking and feeling young again. I provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. So schedule your appointment today, JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait, your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Well, here's the history, and we probably mentioned this before, the history of adding fluoride to water. Back in 1962, the government issued guidelines as far as what level of fluoride should be in drinking water because they wanted to add it because it was, they say, an excellent cavity blocker. Fluoride had been praised for its alleged power to prevent tooth decay and boost oral health. Now, I wonder, Janet, was that true, or were they just making up an excuse to dump toxins in the water supply? You know, it's not far-fetched, Janet. We talked yesterday about how they were putting larvicides, you know, like pesticides in the water down in Brazil to control the mosquito population. So this kind of activity is done, putting toxic substances in water for the better good, so they say. But
so they say for the better good is very, very interesting. Have any studies been done with the interaction of fluoride with chlorine? And then even more of an issue, have any studies been done with the newest bacteria treatment in water, which would be chloramine? And this combination of chlorine with ammonia, and then you're throwing in a little bit of fluoride, and then you're throwing in the potential for those chemicals to interact with whatever substance the pipes consist of. And down here in Florida, most of the pipes are going to be PVC. And it seems very unlikely to me that PVC pipes are not going to have any kind of chemical interaction with regard to the different chemicals that are added in the water these pipes are carrying. And then when you think about the combination of all of those, that interaction of all of those chemicals, and the aging of the pipes. So, so many different details to consider of such great impact with regard to our good health. And here's something that since 1962, where they're deciding to add fluoride to the water, and here it is 2016, and we're just now thinking about the possibility, oh, maybe the fluoride is contributing to this global cause of death, cardiovascular disease.
Janet, the original purpose of putting fluoride in the water was to prevent tooth decay, which it actually does not prevent. It has absolutely no impact on tooth decay. In fact, vitamin D has been found to be significantly more effective in cavity prevention without the extreme side effects. Instead of damaging your body, vitamin D slashes your risk of just about everything fluoride consumption causes. And according to the latest numbers, actually over 72% of Americans drink water treated with fluoride. But, you know, I've said even if you're not drinking water treated with fluoride, you're probably eating food that was exposed to fluoridated water and during its growth phase. Is it any wonder that cardiovascular disease rates are off the chart? Perhaps most concerning is the fact that fluoride does not even prevent cavities, which is the reason they still give for putting fluoride in the water. Here's the recommendation. Fluoride should be completely removed from the international water supply as it's a threat to public health. Now, all right, so that you have to get the politicians involved. But now the more problems with fluoride is coming to light. The Lancet published a report that puts fluoride in the same category as mercury, lead, and arsenic as a neurotoxin. That's a pretty strong statement, because there's absolutely no safe level of mercury, lead, or arsenic in our bodies, and fluoride is being grouped together with them. So fluoride now is a neurotoxin. That's not really new information, except how the saying goes, if you've never heard it before, it's new and it's not being disseminated. This information is kept quiet. I don't know why the dental industry continues to push fluoride in toothpaste and public water supplies.
Maybe for the same reason, Dr. Slavin, that they continue to use mercury amalgams as fillings in dental cavities.
Well, but still, well, you know, again, it still doesn't make sense. If you know something is really bad, why don't you remove it? Now, the article that was published in Lancet, Lancet Neurology, was a review of various neurotoxins, and they had proof that five but similar industrial chemicals function as neurotoxins. That includes lead, mercury, arsenic, polychlorinated biphenyls, that's the PCBs, and toluene. If you're not familiar with toluene, that's used as paint thinners, glues, and animal feed. Isn't that the substance that some people like to sniff a little bit of?
Oh, my goodness.
Don't you remember? You know, there were problems, kids sniffing glue and things like that?
I guess I've had too much fluoride, and my memory is affected because, I remember sniffing glue, but I don't know that I realized it contained toluene, and that was the substance that was a contributing incitement to sniff the glue.
Now, the purpose of that article is they expanded the list of toxic substances. So they added six more chemicals, namely fluoride, manganese, chlorpyrifos. Now, chlorpyrifos, that's a pesticide. And also, DDT is on the list. Now, we banned DDT in this country, but it's not banned worldwide. You have tetrachloroethylene, which is PERC. You have, and I think that's what's used in dry cleaning. Is that right?
Right, yes.
Yeah. And then you have the polybrominated diphenyl ethers. That's abbreviated PBDEs. And, of course, in other words, we're living in a toxic environment, and nobody's doing anything about it. I mean, the first step would be, I would think, you take the fluoride out of the water. That's easy enough to do. And they're saying, perhaps, that maybe what we're seeing, the rise in the prevalence of neurodevelopmental disabilities. That's another way of saying autism, attention deficit disorder, dyslexia, and other cognitive impairments may be a result of all these toxins that we are being exposed to in greater and greater amounts. And you would think, where's the EPA in all this, the Environmental Protection Agency? Well, here's what they're doing. The U.S. toxics regulatory structure does not require safety testing of industrial chemicals. So they're nowhere to be seen. And I think everybody would agree with this. Untested chemicals should not be presumed to be safe to brain development. And chemicals in existing use and all new chemicals must therefore be tested for developmental neurotoxicity. In other words, how many things are being done? They said, well, it's perfectly safe. We talk about GMOs. Now, it's not just the GMO per se, but it's the use of all the pesticides associated with it that they keep saying is safe. But they don't do the right tests to find out, because no two people are exposed to the same level of these pesticides associated with GMOs to the same extent. So I think, the answer is, first thing is, you have to be made aware that that these problems exist before you can take any steps to avoid it. And I guess the first way to avoid it, you have to stop drinking tap water if it has fluoride in it. And I know like they said, most of the water in the country is fluoridated.
So very, very important information for anyone concerned about supporting good health and anyone concerned about the health of their children and grandchildren, their family members. Very much a situation where you can vote with your dollars. because obviously voting for one particular political party or another has not achieved any movement toward establishing environmental safety. So we have this Environmental Protection Agency, but we can essentially cross that off because they are not doing their job. So when I say you can vote with your dollars, you can make sure that you are doing things to clean up your own environment. Number one, you don't want to be using soaps, cleansers in your home, any kind of chemical that is in your home environment. Any kind of chemical that is entering your body or surrounding your body. I can think of so many different things. Cleansers that women use for their faces, if you take a look at the list of chemical ingredients in many of those commercial products, they absolutely contain a chemical soup that you don't want to be exposing your skin to on a regular basis. You want to be looking at the ingredients in your toothpaste. You want to be filtering your water. Now, it is very difficult to find a way of filtering out fluoride. And in my opinion, and Dr. Slavin, jump in here anytime, is it possible to filter out fluoride short of doing reverse osmosis or distillation of water?
I think so. I think that those are the two ways. I don't know if they've come up with simple filters that are adequate in removing fluoride. The fluoride's a tough one to take out. Chlorine's a little bit easier. When we come back, I'll list all the different sources of fluoride. You'll be surprised where it's coming from besides the water, or maybe you think of it in toothpaste, on other areas. And so once you know about it, you'll be able to take steps to reduce your exposure. But right now, time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we've been talking about fluoride, how it's so pervasive in the environment, not just in the water, Of course, you know, it's in dental products, like toothpaste. In fact, 95% of toothpaste has fluoride in it. I think it's more of an issue for children because they might swallow the toothpaste. But I think adults, if you spit it out, I don't think it's going to be that big of a risk. But here's where some of the real risks come in. Even if you don't live in an area where the water is fluoridated, most beverages and foods that we consume have fluoride in it. For example, soda, juices, sports drinks, beer, and many other processed foods, including infant foods, now have elevated fluoride levels.
Dr. Slavin, is it possible to test an individual's level of contamination with fluoride?
You know, I don't know. It's not one of the tests that we routinely do, so I have to see it's even available. And I'll look into it, and then tomorrow maybe I'll have an answer, see if, you know, we can test serum iron levels, serum iodine levels, for example. So it's all a matter of whether the labs are equipped to do that test. You know, it's just a matter of whether they've set up the test to check for fluoride. Now, here's
that
an interesting
would be
thing.
A reasonable way also to evaluate how things, how these are functioning in your body. If you have adequate, optimized levels of iodine, the possibility of chlorine and fluorine having accumulated in your body or interrupting the function of iodine is very, it would be lower.
Absolutely, and I think that explains why we see so many people with symptoms of a dysfunctional thyroid. In other words, the thyroid hormones don't seem to be working, despite the fact that the blood tests say they're within normal range. I think they're making it's interfering with the normal hormone function. You know, dentists have a way of thinking that when you put a toxic substance in the mouth, it becomes safe. You know, they say that about mercury. But how about this? Fluoride is used in some pesticides to kill insects and pests. So, you know, they don't think twice about putting it in the water, but it's used to kill insects and pests. What's wrong with that picture? And some of the foods that are particularly exposed to these types of pests include grape products, dried fruit, dried beans, cocoa powder, and walnuts. They all have high fluoride levels. So I don't know if organic, something being organic is going to necessarily protect you against the fluoride that might have been used in the production. Now, tea plants, you know, TEA, you know, the beverage, absorb fluoride from the soil. As a result, tea leaves, particularly old tea leaves, contain high levels of fluoride. So what do we mean by that? Black tea averages 3 to 4 parts per million of fluoride, while commercial tea drinks contain 1 to 4 parts per million. As a result of these elevated levels, numerous studies have linked excessive tea consumption to bone disease caused by too much fluoride. So now you have the tea being made with the fluoridated water, but the tea itself is a source of fluoride. Now, I think the next point is the most important point, I think. We talked about it last week about mitochondrial dysfunction and how fluoride creates that issue, and that can lead to, you know, cardiovascular disease and actually the dysfunction of your body, of every cell in the body because of the mitochondria being the energy sources in the cell being affected. A lot of pharmaceuticals are fluorinated. So when you take certain drugs, you're getting a fluoride as well. Those drugs include the fluoroquinolones like Cipro or Levaquin. So those are drugs you want to avoid. You know, when you hear about avoiding the that category of drug, they talk about Achilles ruptured tendons, Achilles and other tendon ruptures. You know, they don't really talk about the impact on the mitochondria or the effect it might have on your heart. So there are, I guess, safer categories of antibiotics to use and reserve those antibiotics when you truly have a life-threatening condition. Now, here's an area that I've never given much thought to, and maybe Janet has. We'll find out in a second. And I never really thought about this much, but foods made with mechanically separated meat. Have you ever heard that term?
Oh, absolutely, Dr. Slavin. And when you think about the potential for error, when you think about the kind of purity of that mechanically separated meat, it does make you think a little bit.
Well, here's what they're saying. So what's mechanically separated meat? Well, that's taking the bones from the meat. So you see that in chicken fingers, chicken nuggets. And what happens is that type of meat is contaminated with bone particles because that's where the fluoride is found. So they're saying that processed chicken meats have the highest levels of fluoride, containing on average about 3.6 parts per million. So think about a kid. These are the favorite foods for kids, and it's loaded with fluoride.
And when you think about mechanically separated meat, people are looking for a very white meat in chicken, and they don't necessarily want to see the meat, some white, some dark. They want it to look white. What are they using to make the meat white? They're bleaching it. Very, very sad state of affairs, the food supply here in the United States. And that's why I say people can vote with their dollars and choose quality over what passes for food. It was interesting because I was driving to work the other day and I was looking at all of the different gas stations that have a sign up on their outer wall, big letters, food store, snacks and drinks, food, sandwiches, things like that. And how many people are actually purchasing things they're eating? They're putting it in their bodies at these places. And how good can the quality be? And just because the sign says food doesn't mean that it's necessarily supportive of how your body is meant to function. You put it in your mouth, you feel full, but it hasn't nourished you.
Janet, just to clarify something, when you bleach something, you're exposing that to chlorine because that's the bleaching substance. So it's so chlorine, you have the fluoride, chlorine, bromine in the periodic table of the elements, all halogens, and then you have iodine after that. Next, you have Teflon pans. I don't know if people are still using Teflon, but that may also increase the fluoride content in foods. In one study, it was found that boiling water in a Teflon pan for about 15 minutes added 2 parts per million of fluoride to the water.
Wow.
So I don't know. I don't know why you would boil water in Teflon pans. You know, water's not going to stick to them. So I'm not sure why that would be. But and then the other area, of course, is in the workplace environment, you could be exposed to fluoride as well. But it's important to know then where you can get food that's fluoride-free. And the answer is most fresh food, in other words, food that hasn't been processed, and fresh water contains very little fluoride. So what does that mean? Drinking spring water, for example, or eating unprocessed fruit, vegetables, grains, egg, milk, meat, should have lower levels of fluoride. Now, if you were to have seafood, tea, water from deep wells, and fresh fruit and vegetables that were sprayed with fluoride pesticides, then you're going to have an increased exposure. And I'm not sure about the deep wells, if there's a fluoride problem there. They say there is. I'm not sure about seafood either as far as why there'd be a fluoride problem there as well. But I think, you know, it just adds another reason to buy your food fresh and not processed. And, of course, organic whenever you can. So that's the, you know, the highlight of today's news was that fluoride is associated with cardiovascular disease. You know, I don't think we pay too much attention if it's, you know, they talk about staining of the teeth. I don't think people, that gets people excited, but maybe you talk about heart disease being associated with the number one killer, fluoride exposure and hardening of the arteries. You know, maybe that'll motivate some people. Now, another substance that we're finding in our foods is found in canned goods. I don't know, Janet, this is an area we've talked about. The BPA in cans, you know, you hear people talk about it, then you would assume, okay, that problem's been taken care of. But apparently it's still a problem.
Well, my guess is, Dr. Slavin, that most of the people who listen to Natural Talk Radio have not been consuming food that they get from cans. Then I say that and I think about, well, not too many people are using their dried beans, but you told us that dried beans are a significant source, or they are contaminated with fluoride. So we have our choice of chemicals here. We can go for the potential contamination of BPA in the canned beans we might consume, or we can go for the fluoride that may be in the dried beans that we would have to prepare ourselves.
All right, Janet, when we come back, a little bit more information on BPA, which stands for bisphenol A, still present in a lot of cans. We'll tell you which companies are still using it, and we'll tell you why you want to avoid it. But right now, time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We'll be back right after this.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. We've all heard the phrase, trust your gut. But did you know that your gut, or your digestive function, is critical to your overall health? Indigestion and irritable bowel can lead to chronic illness throughout the body. Take the steps to ensure your gut is healthy by getting nutrients to your body that are necessary to fight off infections and disease. Keep your gut healthy. Go to JanetCimarelli.com and set up a counseling appointment with me. I'll explain how you can change your diet and change your life.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We've been talking about BPA now. Earlier we spoke about fluoride, how you want to avoid that as much as possible because of its association with heart disease, among so many other issues. And BPA has a other issues. BPA is used as a lining in cans. It's also in plastic and nonstick food containers, in plastic wraps, in water bottles, in cashier receipts. The EPA says it's perfectly safe, yet it's been banned in sippy cups and other baby products due to potential health concerns to infants. Like so many other things, though, it becomes perfectly safe when you get older. But here's why you want to consider avoiding BPA. Number one, it affects hormones, and it's been associated with increased breast cancer risk, associated with high blood pressure and heart disease, altered immune function, diabetes, and of course it's a neurotoxin. It can damage your brain, associated with hyperactivity, aggressiveness, impaired learning. So many ways to avoid these products, but you don't know to avoid them until you've been made aware that of the potential problem. So, the next recommendation really applies to almost everything. Eat mostly fresh, whole foods. Avoid processed and packaged foods, because that's where you're going to find the BPA and other toxins that are involved in either in the processing or the packaging of the products. So here's another recommendation, extremely important as well. Store your food and beverages in glass rather than plastic, and avoid using plastic wrap. Use glass containers when you're heating your food in a microwave. Don't put your food in some kind of plastic.
No.
I mean, don't use the microwave at all. But I know some people aren't going to automatically avoid that. But at least put it in glass and not plastic, particularly styrofoam. It's really bad. And then be aware that even BPA-free plastics typically leach other endocrine-disrupting chemicals that are just as bad as BPA. Now, what they're saying here is, okay, some of the lining they're using that's BPA-free has another substance called BPS. So they can say it's BPA-free, but BPS is not much better. So... Here's one, especially in Florida. Teach your children not to drink water from a garden hose to avoid plastic chemicals. Have you ever seen anyone drink water from a garden hose?
Water that may have been sitting in that hose for a while, exposed to the sunlight, so the water in the hose has been heated and then cooled in the night and heated in the sunlight, cooled at night, and... the possible chemical soup that is that water coming out of the hose after being there for so long.
So, and then it goes on to say, buy products that come in glass rather than plastic, but here's, or cans, but here's the, I think the problem that all of us are going to have is you may want to use an alternative to PVC pipes for your water supply. Now, how do we get away with that?
I don't know how we can alter that. And we'd all have to be building our own homes and finding other sources, copper. And then if we are having copper plumbing, the possibility of having copper toxicity does exist. And then we wonder about what is the chemical interaction with chlorine and fluoride and chloramine with the copper. So we are, actually our bodies are a tribute to survival, because we seem to be doing relatively well in the face of this incredible exposure to so many different chemicals.
Now, here's something that, we think of breastfeeding in a different context, because you're giving the baby the benefits of the mother's immune system and also nutrition. But you want to, another reason to breastfeed is a way to avoid exposing the baby to the different chemicals found in infant formula packaging and the plastic bottles and the nipples that are used. So another reason, if you're bottle feeding, use a glass baby bottle rather than plastic ones. And then if you're going to buy your toys for a baby, you got to think about using, toys out of natural materials, and you should avoid plastic chemicals, which have the phthalates and the BPAs and the BPSs. because the kids are going to put that in their mouth. So when you start to think about it, you begin to realize just how easy it is for any of us to be exposed to these toxins, and then we wonder why we get sick. So you got to really establish different habits about, you know, how you eat and the foods you choose. So even, I guess, I don't know, Janet, I don't, you know, do the shopping in my household. The cans in the health food stores, would you say they're BPA free, or do they, I don't even know if they have labels on it that say that.
And I'm going to say I doubt that they are BPA free. I don't really know. Well, Dr. Slavin, so what am I concerned about here? What am I going to do? And does it make any sense to do chelation therapy? Does it make any sense to do the ultraviolet blood treatment? Does it make good sense to do intravenous vitamin C? And certainly, I'm going to say the more efficiently you maintain your nutrition status, that proper balance of minerals, the vitamins that are going to be supportive of healthy cellular function. When you optimize that nutrition status, the damage that exposure to all of these chemicals that we've talked about this morning, that damage is potentially reduced. I'm going to say nothing can eliminate it. So what we want to do is make the intensity of the damage less.
Now, the treatment you mentioned, you know, whether it be the vitamin C or the ultraviolet treatment or the, I'm not sure the other one you said there.
Chelation.
You know, chelation. They're all helpful because what we're doing to our bodies with exposure to all these chemicals is we're weakening our immune system, we're damaging our mitochondria. So these treatments help to restore function. But it's always better to prevent the problem in the first place. And a couple other things you can do, too. Drink a lot of purified water. Make sure, you know, they mentioned, you know, spring water and things like that that don't have the chemicals in there. Use of a sauna is good because that's one way of ridding your body of these chemicals is through perspiration. But the best way is to try and avoid your exposure in the first place. So that's just something to think about. You know, what was it back in the 60s, I'm thinking, is when plastics were introduced. And we could think of so many changes in the different conditions reported since that time that you never heard much mention of before that. And who knows the impact that plastics has had on the health of living beings.
Well, the very, very negative effects that plastics have had on the environment, and they're finding such high levels of plastic contamination in fish because so much of the plastic that has been discarded into the ocean has made it into that, I'm going to say, essentially the food chain in the ocean, the fish are very, very highly contaminated now with plastics, and the projection is, I believe, in about 20 years, the components, the makeup of the fish will be 50% fish and 50% plastics. Very sad.
Janet, can you remember a time when all you had was glass containers and wax paper?
Absolutely.
And paper bags, paper shopping bags. You know, you just think about all the plastic bags we're exposed to.
Very important.
So so the message, you know, after we talk about all these things that undermine our health, it always funnels back down to eating fresh food, you know, using glass, you know, not plastic. Be careful about some of the nonstick cookware that you're using. the personal care products you want to use is, you know, make sure they're natural because they are a source of a lot of chemicals. Be careful about antibiotics. Use them only when necessary. And that's why the alternative treatments that we have here, they're alternatives to antibiotics. The high-dose vitamin C or the ultraviolet blood treatments, you know, all are excellent alternatives to antibiotics. So you don't, it's not just the immediate risk of antibiotics, it's the long-term risk that antibiotics are showing that they create. So just give everything you do a little bit more thought and you could protect yourself. And on that note, we've run out of time. I'd like to thank...
This is, you've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.